May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Where do you keep your treasures stored? Do you have boxes in your attic or closets that contain treasures that you've collected over the course of your life? Or maybe your treasures have been handed down to you by parents and grandparents, in which case they may be displayed lovingly in your home for everyone to see. But I suspect that many of us have those boxes in our closets and attics. Sometimes the treasures we've collected or that have been handed down to us are truly treasures that bring us joy, to go Maria Kondo on you today. And sometimes we find ourselves just hanging on to things simply because they've been in the attic or the closet or because of the person that we received them from. So I want to talk to you about a particular box today, a couple of them. There is a box. Actually, let's start with the closet. There's a closet downstairs where the Altar Guild keep some of the things that we use in worship. It's not exactly handy to hear, but there are many, many items down there that are stored away for when they need to be used. And there's a box in that closet that has a label: Odd Followers of All Sorts and Sizes. Now, that might be an apt description for a congregation, but these are not followers of Jesus in the box. In this case, a follower is a sort of collar that sits on top of a wax candle to help it burn evenly. And this is a property of some importance for altar candles. Now, we no longer use wax candles in this worship space. We use candles that burn liquid fuel. So there's no need for followers, really, of any sort, except in the season of Lent. And we've got these special candle holders down in that closet that do require wax candles. And so we do have a particular size and sort a follower that is required for those candles. But there's really no need to have a whole box of odd followers of all sizes and sorts, right? But there it sits on the shelf, mostly forgotten, until you go looking for something, right? Well, about a year ago, I discovered another box behind that box. And that box was marked St. Paul's Silver. Now, for those of you who may be new to the parish or visiting, St. Paul's is our mother church, and we do hold services there at that little church in Pendleton twice a month. So this box contained, among other things, two beautiful silver chalices and two engraved patens that were meant to be used in worship. And as far as we can tell, this box had been on the shelf behind the odd followers for about a decade. So now these chalices and patens have been polished lovingly and are used as they were intended in worship at St. Paul's. So I'm talking about boxes of treasure and boxes of odd followers because of a thought that occurred to me while I was reading the gospel through the week. Storing up treasures in heaven doesn't mean boxing them up and putting them away in a closet. Storing up treasures in heaven is more like bringing the boxes out of the corners of our hearts, opening them up, and then using God's gracious gift of the kingdom for us. Now, our gospel reading today is a set of Jesus' sayings that loosely connect with each other and with the discourse that immediately precedes it. It's a familiar passage about considering the lilies of the field and the birds of the air, and it's an illustration of God's care for each of us. And then Jesus follows that with, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And the way that this connects with the sayings that follow is kind of like when you've got a thematic garden and there's something that just repeats itself throughout the garden as you wind your way along the garden path. The common thread here is that opening statement. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, when Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock," he's reminding us of the fear and divisiveness that we see on the news or read about on social media or hear in our public discourse. And he's reminding us that these things do not speak the last word in defining our lives. How comforting in these days to know that God's good pleasure is what does define our lives. God's good pleasure of giving us the kingdom when we receive it and use it. That's what defines our lives. And we get to participate in that kingdom where love rules and justice prevails and mercy is for everyone. And let's be clear, God gives us this kingdom. We don't earn it. We can't. In fact, we can only receive it as a gift. And like any good gift, it needs to be used. I had a friend who used to say that her grandmother told her that if she didn't use the family silver that she had handed down, she was going to come back and haunt her. So, our inclusion in the kingdom is by gift and invitation, and it is, in fact, God's good pleasure to give us this gift. That's who God is. God is the giver of every good gift. And what follows this statement from Jesus isn't a set of conditions, but the invitation to set our priorities in line with what we've already been given in this gift of the kingdom. That is, we're invited to live into the identity and the reality that we've been given. Our identity is, as Jesus reminds us, we're the little flock. We are the children of God, the sheep who are tended by the Good Shepherd. We're invited to store up treasures for ourselves there in that kingdom of heaven. And we can do that by lightening our loads and sharing what remains in response to the love of God. When we realize that it's God's good pleasure to take care of us, to love us, and to give us all good things, even that very kingdom that we've been talking about, it's a lot easier to give rather than hoard, to live from a sense of courage rather than fear, to operate out of a sense of abundance rather than scarcity. And here's one that can be really hard: to allow ourselves to be seen as who we truly are. Because when we're seen as who we truly are, we are seen as God sees us, as God's children. No matter who we are, how awkward we are, how difficult we can be, we are still God's children, and God loves us. And we get this invitation to be freed up from emotional entanglement that comes from the worry of fear, whether it's existential worry about being safe or fed or sheltered, or that internal worry and fear about being accepted. When we're able to discard the odd followers of all sorts and sizes, we can experience the kingdom of God that God offers for the very sheer joy of it, of giving. And Jesus says, if your treasure is in the kingdom of heaven, your heart will be there too. Your heart, which is the engine of physical bodily life, but is also the very epitome of the inner eternal life. Your heart resides in heaven if you store up your treasure there. Even as you're walking around, living and breathing, your heart lives in heaven. Jesus is offering treasures of love and friendship and joy and kindness and shared hopes. Perhaps you can think of others. These are wonderful treasures. They're living treasures born out of relationships, our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. Again, because the offer comes from Jesus, we can be sure that the relationships he's talking about are not just with the people that we sit with comfortably here in our church pews. Jesus is talking about seeking him in all others, relationships that may require our serving and loving and accepting people that we'd rather not be bothered with. And those relationships are the source of the treasures of love and joy and kindness and shared hopes that we've been invited to store up. And to store in heaven where nothing can damage or break them. So God is hoping to give us the kind of blessings that come with finding that living treasure in seeking and serving the least among us. These are blessings that come especially from seeking and serving Christ in those who are vulnerable, the poor, the hungry, children who are caught up in tides of migration all over the world as their parents flee violence and oppression, children in our own community who only have a place to stay this past week because of the generosity of this parish, opening up our space for a mother and her two children to come and be safe and fed and warm. God's good gifts enable us to respond to the world's needs and to live our lives freed from the fear of darkness and death. We've been given these gifts not to keep, but to give away. Not to put on a shelf, but to take down and clean up and get ready to share, to invite people to come and enjoy them with us. Our hearts aren't meant to be stored away in the attic or in a closet, boxed up and slowly turning to dust. Nor are they meant to be cluttered with stubbornly persistent habits of fearful isolation and unyielding quarrels. Our heavenly treasure is meant to be shared with each other and with others as we live out our baptismal promises and celebrate our joy and the hope of eternal life. So what do you say? Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we ready to take down those treasures, open up the boxes, and share with the world what God has given us just because it gives God pleasure. Let's do it.